I want you to prepare your hearts for the word of God. Man, I'm just so blessed. This has been a full day. I was over at the 8 o'clock service, and man, it was a full house. The Spirit of God was rich there as well. And man, we happen to have the privilege of being able to hear from a mighty man of God. He's a part of our church. He's gone with me to Africa, and he ain't scared to go anywhere. If you ever want to travel with somebody, him and Jita, they are definitely they some real gangster disciples. That is for God. I ain't scared of nothing. So you come on up if you don't mind. I don't remember exactly how many years he's been a part of the church, but ever since he's been here, he's been on fire. He goes to jails. He'll be ministering at the jails later on in the day. He does overcomers on Friday, and then he gets up at 8 o'clock, and many times he drives a van, and he's behind the scene many times, but he's doing so many amazing things. Counsels, he helps people when they get out of prison to have a place to stay. I'm telling you, he's doing the work of the kingdom. And sometimes people say, well, how do you know who you're going to have to speak? Well, it depends upon the subject. You know, they say, well, do you have a list? I don't have a list. But when we knew we were going to talk about outreach and ministry, I told him, I said, hey, you know, help me with a subject and a theme for this month. And he came up with several. And then we said, because I wanted someone just not to be able to talk the talk, but someone that was about it. And can I just let you know, and I rarely give introductions like this, but I want you to put your hands together real big for our brother, Pastor James Cochran.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's good to be here. My name is James Cockrell. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Lisa Taylor, my daughter. Abundant Faith Christian Center. Been here 17 years and counting, and I just praise God for that. I want to welcome our online church. Welcome those who are streaming our service. Welcome the correctional facilities that are tuning in. I'll see you soon. Our theme for the month is Reaching the Generations. And I think a subtitle for that would be Souls, Harvest of Souls. Win the lost at any cost. Amen. Amen. So I'm excited. I had a chance to meet two first-time visitors to Abundant Faith. Ms. Penn, where you at? Ms. Penn, welcome, welcome. And the McCunes, where are the McCunes? I met them. Welcome, welcome to Abundant Faith. They are first-time visitors here. Amen. Amen. So let's get started. Father, we just honor you and glorify you, and we just thank you today for all you're about to do, for the word that's going to come forth. And in Jesus' name, we pray that this word finds you ready to go into the harvest. Amen? Amen. So, reaching the generations. While I'm in the neighborhood and in town here, I've been seeing grain trucks going all around, and soybeans and corn, and it's harvest time. Farmers are reaping, and they sowed these seeds early in the year, and it's harvest time for the corn. But it's also harvest time in the kingdom. Amen? You know, I've discovered that we're living in a new day, and we're talking about reaching a generation for Christ. We now have to take into account changing tastes and changing landscape. And when you add in the pandemic and you add in financial uncertainties and political unrest and racial and sexual realities, and then you tie in hyper technology and remix religion and cancel culture, it makes it quite a different landscape. Christianity is under attack in many countries. People are being killed for practicing our faith that we walked in today, and we didn't have anyone shooting at us. But people in Nigeria were killed this past week. And the Bible says we need to work while it's day. But when it's night, you can't work. And night has fallen in some countries because of the government, because of religious persecution, and it's getting pretty dark in the United States. But the societal changes require us to shift and adjust our methods of reaching the lost, reaching this generation. When we look at the statistics, the interest in Christianity has decreased over time. In 1999, 70% were had Christian ideations. In 2018, it went down to 50%. And now in 2020, it's under 50% now, 47%. And as you look at the statistics are showing that people have less interest in God. We have to do something about that, don't we? And so it's our responsibility as the church to step up and go out and reach the lost. When you look at the generations, the people born before 1946, 66% of them had Christianity was their religion. In the baby boomers group, 58% Christianity. Generation X, 50%. And the millennials at 36% that have affiliation with a Christian environment. We are under attack. But the Bible gives us confidence that Jesus remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes, yes, yes. We talk about the harvest. We're talking about people who don't know Christ, that have never met Christ. And we have rock solid truth in this hour that Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We have a promise from God that what's impossible with man is possible with God. And we have an unshakable foundation that when we plant in water, that the Holy Spirit causes growth. Amen?
Amen.
So we pray to the Father, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And we know that as you pray, many will come to Christ.
Yes, sir.
But you got to say something. You got to tell them what you know. Now, you all know. You all know already. But a lot of people don't know. All right? And so regardless of what's happening around here, God is here. He's large and in charge. He's powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere at the same time. Amen?
Amen?
I'm talking about God. And we expect great things from God.
Yes, sir.
And as we expect great things from God, we attempt great things for him. Let me point this out, too. Salvation, aside from going out and ministering, harvesting souls, salvation is a free gift.
Yes, sir.
You're saved by grace through faith. And by grace, you're saved, and he's not requiring you and nothing of yourselves. It's a gift,
yes, sir.
A free gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how many people in here have given their lives to Christ by a show of hands?
Yeah.
My God. My God. And how many people have loved God with their whole heart in here today? Man, I'm glad to see that. Let's give God a praise for that. Amen. Because you're on your way to heaven. If you were to leave right now, you right up there in heaven. Amen. Being with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the gospel is only good news if you get it in time. So we must win the lost at any cost. Amen? So my first point, the key to reaching this generation is not us going out in our own strength, ministering and slapping people upside the head with the Bible. It's love. And the key to reaching this generation, our generation, which we are responsible for, is love. And in Mark 12, verse 28 to 31, one of the scribes were talking, and they came and heard them reasoning, perceiving that he had answered them well. This is probably a lawyer, answered them and said, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus asked him, he said, first commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. This is the first commandment. The second one like this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no commandment greater than these. None. So we have to start out, before we evangelize one soul, we have to love God. We have to love our neighbor.
Amen.
Amen. And it's important that we get this part. It's important that we know that all ministry springs from this, from the love. That's why we do it. It's an ongoing love. And with God, it's a relationship with him. We need to have a relationship with God before you can minister about anything. Amen. It's important that we were created to have fellowship with God, but joy and the privilege of being his sons and his daughters.
Yes,
and in the beginning, in Genesis, Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. They were walking in the cool of the garden with him, just chilling. And so God values our being more than our doing. He wants relationship. And we working for you, work for the Lord, you better make sure that you rocking with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. I mean, when you look at scripture, when you look at like Martha and Mary, and Martha was the doer, and Mary was the one that had the best part. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that was a first priority. All else is secondary. When you look at through the Bible in John 15 and 4, he says that the teacher would abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This is what Jesus is saying. Amen? So it's our job to bring in this harvest. It's our job to go out and present what we've got to the world. And he never intended for us to do it in our own strength. He intended to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus stayed in close communication with his Father. He moved in his Father's love. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. Amen? And that's why the great commandment, the great love commandment, got to precede the great commission. You got to do the first commandment before you can do the commission. Amen? Because our hearts can be deceptive. And we have to make sure that our motives are pure when we're out there. We must love and walk with Jesus for real. Amen? And our activities, when you're in church, I'm sure everybody's got their church face on and smiling, looking all holy. Amen? But God knows our heart. Amen? And so it's a thing where this is important. This is important that we live it out, that we walk it out in our daily life. And when you're at home and you get into some situations in the house with your family members, I'm reminded many times by my good wife. She'll call me by my name. Minister, you Minister James. And I have to stand down. And so let's jump to Luke 10, because I got my time is short here. Luke 10. And in Luke 10, 25, we talk about this thing. We talk about this, and I'm jumping down. I'm jumping down. He says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what's written in the law? And he answered him, says, thou shalt love the God with all thy heart and all soul and strength, like we just said, and you shall live. But then he says, he gets smart with God. Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered with a parable, like he usually did. He said, all right, a certain man went down, and I'm going to paraphrase because our time is short. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they stripped him of his raiment, took his clothes, wounded him, and jacked him. I'm just paraphrasing. And then a certain priest passed by, and they saw him, and he walked to the other side of the street. What a coward. And then a Levite came by, and he looked at him. He jumped and ran across to the other side of the street. My God. But then a Samaritan came through, and he saw him. He had compassion for him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and he poured in oil and wine, and he set him on his beast. He put him in his whip, you know what I'm saying? And he brought him to the inn. He put him in a hotel. I mean, we could do that, man, and take care of people. Then he paid the money for the hotel. Didn't even know this guy from Adam's cat. And he said, he asked the question of this person. He said, now of the three, which one was a neighbor that fell among thieves? Which one was a true neighbor? And he said, the one that went and helped him. And this is the type of fiery love, this complete love, this love in action, this faith in action that brings people to Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Amen. This is the kind of love that brings us to Christ. Jesus says, whatsoever you do for the least of my brothers, that you do for me. So we should be all motivated and passionate about this love for God. We have a responsibility in this generation for these souls. We have a responsibility for them. And that's one of the reasons I love this church. We have many people that are involved in missions, involved in outreaches. We have a lot going on. You can be busy in this church with souls. And I'm inviting you to get busy, too. Amen. I think we have a clip that we're going to show you in a few minutes. And this was from our South Africa trip, what Pastor alluded to it a moment ago. We had a beautiful time there. We preached. We prophesied. We cast out devils. We did ministry there. We got a chance to see. You can go to the next slide. We got a chance to really see what was going on. That me? And South Africa was a beautiful place. And just like this place, they've got their rich areas, they've got their poor areas. And we spent time in Johannesburg and spent time in Cape Town. And you know, after Cape Town, it's a long plane ride, about 20 hours. But it was so worth it. You know, you got a chance. And one thing I found out is that the Holy Spirit moves in other countries. It's not just the United States. They was running around down there, falling out, jumping and screaming for God. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I, you know, Pastor mentioned that my wife and I pastored the Overcomers Ministry. And I think some of the Overcomers are here today. They came on over afterward. The Overcomers, could you begin to come this way? I'm going to introduce you to the congregation. Everybody who came over from Overcomers, come on. Let's go. Quickly, quickly. Come on up. Come on up. Come on, Fred. Those of you who help us minister over there, come on up here. The praise team helps us. Come on up, Tracy. Come on up. These are the people that work behind the scenes. Come on, Fred. Come on, come on. Amen. Come on, it's some more, y'all, but don't be shy. Come on up. Face them. Face them. These are the people that minister to the lost here locally in town. We go globally, we go locally, we do what's necessary to do. Our leadership is here. They're coming from everywhere, and you don't see them. When we're not at church, we're not just at home watching Netflix. We're going out and doing what God called us to do. And this group of people, why don't you give them a hand? And we appreciate them. I want to especially point out, where's Yanni? Where's Yanni? Yanni. Yes, Yanni is one of our cooks, and I'm going to tell you something. Is Yanni here? And she cooks the breakfast, man. She can do something to some grits, boy, I tell you. But we feed those people who are, some of them are here. We feed the brothers that come from the shelters, from the Salvation Army, from Helping Hands. But when we're ever on the street, if you're on the bus stop, we'll pick you up. Lonnie's our driver. Lonnie, we'll pick them up, bring them to church. Yeah. And he makes sure that they get fed. So this is our local ministry crew. You know, and some of you all have shared. I don't see everybody up here, but it's okay. So this is just a small microcosm of what's going on. So when you see these people, give them a hand and tell them thank you. Amen? Amen. Y'all can take y'all seats. So now it's your turn. So out of the Great Commandment comes the Great Commission. One of the things we found out is that love is an action word.
Yes, sir.
And faith is an action word. And you can move your feet and not your mouth. You know, you can yell out hallelujah and glory to God all day long, but if you don't say something to somebody, you have not done your job. Amen? And so it's important that evangelism is sharing the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power and love of the Holy Spirit so that people give their whole hearts to God. Because that's what it's about. Last night, 165,000 people died. Or roughly there. And many of them didn't go to heaven because nobody was there to preach the gospel. And it's important. The Bible says that hell is expanding itself to accept the newcomers. So we have a job to do. God is expecting us to walk worthy. My second point is Jesus' mission in coming to earth and was to redeem us and save us, save the lost. You all know the scripture, John 3:16. And so it's important that Jesus considered it important. Then you should consider it important.
Amen.
We should spend some time doing that. You know, we want to preach. We got to preach the gospel. It's not the gospel of Louis Vuitton or Gucci. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Come on. Don't leave me out here by myself. I'm going to get beat up later. Come on. So Jesus came to fulfill the law. He came to divide. He came with a sword. Okay? He came to call sinners. He came to call us to repentance. He came to serve and give his life. He came to proclaim the good news and liberty to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind and set liberty to those who are captive. Many people are captive right in here. They dressed up and they captive. They smell good. They still captive. Things happened to them when they were younger that they have not gotten over yet. They still remember it every day. And we have to begin to help them get free. And that's what God is calling us to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came to give us abundant life. He came to bear witness of the truth. And so it's important that Jesus said, if you confess me before my people, I'll confess you before my Father. Amen. How many want Jesus to confess them before God? I know I do. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, he said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And when you follow somebody, you follow what they're asking you to do. And Jesus came because of the lost. Point three, the main purpose of the church is to bring the harvest in. That's our purpose. He said, go in Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized will be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, go. Let's say it together. Go.
Go.
He said, share. Let's share.
Share.
He said, preach. He said, what?
Preach.
And then he said, give. He said, give. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, but we don't want to go. We want to stay. We love him. We love him. But we want to stay comfortable. Mm-hmm. We want dinner. Some people think about dinner right now. We want to binge watch Netflix 5 episodes. Come on. You know. And we don't want to be rejected. Because when you go out and minister, you're going to be rejected. And so some people don't like rejection. But Jesus was rejected. And he was abused. And he was killed. So, you know, we make excuses for not going out and ministering. I'm mad at the church because I got hurt in church. Somebody didn't smile at me. And people were getting shot in Nigeria the other day. Uh-huh. We make excuses for not going out into the harvest. People are suffering. Think about that for a minute. We're comfortable in here. Comfortable temperature, soft seats. Y'all know y'all gonna go eat after this. I know y'all gonna go eat. And so how can you say you love God and you don't care about the lost? How can you say you fulfill the Great Commission if you're not involved in the harvest? Come on, y'all. You know, how can you do that? You know, because what we do when we don't do it, we say, well, God, I read your Bible, I got it here, but I'm not doing this part right here. Now, I tore a Bible up in church one time. And everybody was upset. Don't send me no letters. I ain't gonna tell you this is my good Bible. I ain't gonna tell this one up. But you tear the Bible up every day when you don't do what it says.
Say that. Say that.
You tearing that Bible up every day. God calls us to work. To work.
He said, this is a holy Bible. You tore the Bible up. It's a holy Bible.
You religious fool. Listen, let me just say this. And a lot of times we'll say, well, oh, I'm too old, I'm retired. Yeah, you can retire from the state, retire from your job, but you don't retire from the harvest. I remember somebody else was talking about retiring. He changed his mind. Because you get carried out of this. And see, when you look at all the apostles. All of them died for the gospel, I think, except for John. But they all suffered for the gospel. They went straight in heaven. Some of them just carried into heaven. Some of the prophets, they just got translated right into heaven. I'm saying that God has called you to do things in the kingdom, to tell people about your testimony. You acting like everything was always all right. You always lived in that big house you live in. You got air, you got heat, you got humidifiers, you got multiple cars, but you didn't always have that stuff. I'm telling you that the job of the church is to evangelize the lost and to disciple those that are in the church. Amen. I know I'm almost finished. So what are we doing to participate in the harvest? God said, the laborers are few. He said, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of harvest. Here are all the laborers right here. Amen. So we need to get busy. You need to join a ministry. We need to get to the point where you know, come on, we got room for you. We'll go out and get the van on a Saturday and just ride and minister to people and pray for them. And we're getting back to that. We're getting back to going out. Some, you have to come out of church. Some people are not going to come in here. No matter what you do, you got to go out and get them. In fact, Jesus said, compel them to come. And the Greek word for that is a nakazo. Compel them to come. That's what that means in the Greek. Compel, say anakazo. Oh, y'all ain't saying it right. Say it right, anakazo. You compel them to come. You get them here. You reach the lost at any cost. Sometimes you got to spend your money. Sometimes you're not going to get it back. But you can't outgive God. Amen. 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 So we need to go after the lost. We need to minister and tell them your testimony. We need to, see, remember the lady in the scriptures who lost one coin? She had 10 silver coins. Yes, she lost one. That lost coin represent lost believers.
Yes, sir.
And she looked for it until she found it. And the same thing when he had 100 sheep and he lost one. He looked for it till they found it. That lost sheep was the lost in the kingdom. We have to know that God values that one. He said, I'll leave the 99 to go after that one. Amen? And it's important that we go after that one. My final thought, as I come to my close here, is that I want to remind you about two scriptures real quick. Revelation 3:15. And it says, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I would that you would be either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Who said that? Jesus. He said that. And my final scripture, I'm just giving you this because I want you to step up. I don't mean to beat you. But we need to be aware that you're not guaranteed that. You can't just lay back and say, I'm going to heaven and not care about those other folks that don't know him. You can't do it if you really love Jesus. If I told my wife I really loved her, but I didn't do nothing else, I didn't bring no flowers, I didn't buy no dinner, I didn't buy no Gucci. I'm just saying, this is a thing where she wouldn't believe me. Matthew 7:19-23. Y'all don't laugh too much, y'all getting me in trouble. Like, Matthew 19, every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. His will is that we go after souls. Amen. Amen. He talks about it all through the book. He's like verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out devils in your name? Have I not done many marvelous works? I worked in the church. I ushered. I deaconed. I sung. I did everything else. But see, I will profess unto him, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. We have to be careful that we don't take this great salvation for granted. My final point, number 5, remember Jesus. Remember what he did. Remember that they persecuted him and he died. Remember his blood at Calvary. Remember the free gift of salvation. Remember how he filled you with the Holy Spirit. Remember how you got this heavenly hope, how he taught you his word, how he brought you out of trouble. Remember. How he held you in your arms when that family member died. Remember how he sent you a husband. He sent you a wife. He gave you those kids. Remember how he's protected you. He kept you from getting fired off that job that you was unqualified for. He kept you when you felt like you was going crazy. He kept you in your righteous mind. He healed you. He delivered you. He set you free. And he connected you to AFCC. My final comment, your choices reflect who you love. Love Jesus. more than anything. Be passionate about what he's passionate about. Love what he loves. Hate what he hates. And stand for the things he stands for. Let's bring this harvest in. Let's bring this generation back to God. Let's love God and let's love our neighbor. Amen? Amen. 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 So I'm going to pray. Father, there are going to be some ministers up here, hopefully, to pray for those. Oh, amen. We are planning. We are working with several ministries overseas, and I wrote them down too, Pastor. In South Africa, we're working with Pastor John. And we're planning to, it may be Abundant Faith South Africa. That's what I'm pushing for. But we'll see what happens. But we've also got in Lithuania. I don't know what I did with it. Susie and Travis in Lithuania. We've got John in Kenya. In Mexico, we have Deva Hopfield. In other words, we're expanding. So we're doing local ministry. Local ministry. And we're doing global ministry. And you're invited to participate. You're invited to participate in any of that. It's important. If you've never done it before, we'll show you how to do it. We'll show you how to do it. And we'll work with you as you grow. I had one incident where back in the day, 17 years ago, I went out with Elder Tim and Mother Cole, and we went door to door, and I didn't know what I was doing, but 17 years later, I'm still doing it. Amen? Because somebody took some time to take me out and show me. He said, this is what you should be doing, and that's what we're going to be doing. And I've been doing it ever since, and our teams have been growing, because as you plant those seeds, other people will come around, and that group you saw up here, they're in training. Amen? Amen. So just know that God is working. He wants his harvest. He wants his harvest.